If you recognize the theme music, then you know I'm going to talk about the Walking Dead today. And we'll be praying for you the rest of the service. But anyway, it's good to see all of you today. Could you help me welcome all of our campuses, North Campus? Will you help me welcome all of those who are joining with us today? My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And every week, I get the opportunity of speaking to the different campuses that are in different locations. A couple of you have had some great things happen. I just saw that the Dyersburg campus last week had over 100, a church plant had over 100 last week. And they're on the front page of the paper there today. So I just saw that, got a text about that. Last week, our Adamsville campus baptized a bunch of people. So we're just excited about what's happening at our different locations, our different campuses, and we're glad you're here. Would you take your Bible today or your iPhone or iPad or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, those of you who are at our campuses as well? We've been making a confession together. We're going to do that again today. So would you just say this with me? Just take your Bible or you, again, grab your neighbor's Bible, whatever you got to do, all right? You're ready? Let's make it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that. We really believe that the Word of God changes our lives. If you take your Bibles today and go to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus is where we're going to be. And as you're turning there, let me just kind of bring us all up to speed today. I began last week a new series on becoming. And as we looked at that, we were talking last week about the children of Israel, and as you read the book of Genesis, you'll find that God spoke to a man named Abraham and said to him, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and out of that nation, all the world's going to be blessed. And so you follow the process for the next several chapters, and you see God doing powerful things through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then his 12 sons, and out of that is formed the nation of Israel. There's a guy named Joseph that becomes the prime minister of Egypt, and so all the Israelites move to Egypt. But the problem is that while they're there, they're taken into captivity, and they become slaves to the Egyptian taskmasters. And so last week, we kind of looked at that, of how that they were in slavery, how that they went across into the wilderness as God delivered them, and then how finally, even 40 years after that, the rest of them went into the promised land. But today, I kind of want to rewind just a little bit, and I want us to go back to the point that the children of Israel are still in Egyptians' bondage. Now, they are serving a cruel taskmaster. Pharaoh is not for them. He is against them. And so we begin in the fifth chapter. Now that God has spoken to Moses and he sent Moses to be the deliverer, the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 1, says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Now, I want to talk to us today about The Walking Dead. Now, I've never watched the program. I had people tell me I needed to watch it. I watched it for about 5 minutes, and I can't stand it, okay? If you watch it, God bless you or forgive you. I don't know which it is. It's just not my cup of tea. But I was preparing for this subject, and I thought, you know, that sounds like this television show it's been on. And so thank God for Google, right? I'm glad God created Google. Now, this next part, I don't know if he created. I went to Wikipedia. He probably didn't create Wikipedia. But I read in Wikipedia about the whole thing about The Walking Dead. And the whole aspect is this, is that people are infected with a virus and they become The Walking Dead. Well, I got to thinking about that and I thought, wait a minute, that happened back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis, you okay? In Genesis chapter 3, the Word of God says that Adam and Eve are given the garden to till, to take care of, to work it. It's their paradise. But there comes one named Satan into the garden, and he tricks Eve, and Eve and Adam partake of the fruit, and in that moment, they become the walking
dead. Here's what the Bible says. The Word of God says that you are dead in your trespasses and in your sins. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I'm walking around. I got a good job, a wonderful family. We live in a nice neighborhood. I got that. Understand, when we're going to be looking at this today, the children of Israel are still God's chosen people. They're just living in a land of slavery. They're living in bondage. They're living under all of this, and they literally are like the walking dead. Now, here's what we need to understand. The Scripture says that we are a tripartite being. In other words, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, okay? How many of you believe your body is alive? Look at your neighbor. Those of you watching, just check them out too, okay? If they don't have their hand up, they might have already participated in The Walking Dead. I don't know. I'm kidding. All right. So you got a body that's alive. You've got a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what your soul is. It's that part of us. And so we all understand that not only do we have a body, we also have a soul. But the Scripture says that you have a spirit, but the Word of God says that because of sin, our spirit person is dead. So here we are, we're walking around, but we're the walking dead until we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. So before Christ, we're like the children of Israel. In fact, we're going to be looking in this fifth chapter of how they are living in this setting as those who don't have a relationship with God in that moment and what that means in our lives particular. Here's the first thing. If you are a person today who has not made a decision for Christ and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then according to Scripture, you're a slave. He said, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Well, the Word of God is quite clear about that the devil is not your friend. Amen? The Bible says this about Satan. The Scripture says Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I've had people say, well, I don't believe in the devil. That's okay. He believes in you. Right? People say, well, the devil never bothers me. Well, it might be because he's got you. You can pray about that one a while. All right? It's all these things that we look at. And yet the Word of God is quite clear that there is this one who goes about like a roaring lion who seeks us to devour us, to destroy us. And so there's this aspect of slavery. And that's where the children of Israel were when you study the fifth chapter of the book of Exodus here. And I begin to look at that and say, how does that parallel us before we come into relationship with Christ? What does that look like? And so I want to spend a little while with you today in this fifth chapter. In fact, would you just look at the second verse and we'll start there. Here's what it said. After they said, hey, we want to go offer this feast to the Lord our God, the second verse says, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? Now, let me set this up for you. In that society, they believed that Pharaoh was a god. Okay? In fact, he proclaims himself to be a god. And so when they come to him and they said, hey, we want to go worship the God of Israel, he goes, I don't know him. I know me. I'm a god, and I'm ruling you. I'm in charge of your life. I don't know who this God is. And he said, I don't know who he is. And then he goes on to say, I will not let Israel go. Now, here's the first thing about being dead, the walking dead, okay? The first thing is that because we are slaves, we are dependent on someone who despises us. Now, growing up in my day, and this will date me for some of you will have never heard of this song because you are much holier than I ever was. But in the, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s, there was a group, I can't remember the name, AC/DC, that came out. Wow, just revelation came forth there. And they had a song called The Highway. Some of y'all backslidden too, aren't you? Highway to Hell, right? Highway, and the whole song, I don't remember the words that much because I was way too religious to listen to it. But anyway, it's about, you know, going to hell. And boy, it's going to be a party in hell. Let me tell you something about hell. Hell's not going to be a party. And the devil's not our friend. The devil's against us. The devil wants to destroy us. The devil does everything. He despises us. You can even read it in the tone of Pharaoh here as he says, well, who is this? And who do you think you are? And he goes into this whole thing. And that's how the enemy of our soul wants us to be. He wants us to understand that he is in control. But look in verse 3. Here's what it says in verse 3. It says, then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Now all of that's good to right there, all right? Because this is what God said. God said, go in the wilderness, offer sacrifices. But this next part just messes with me. And they go on to say, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Do you understand what they think about their God? Here's what they think about their God. They think their God is out to get them. They think their God wants to kill them. Their God has not said, if you don't go offer sacrifices, I'm going to kill you. How many of you know all he had to do was leave them there and they were going to die? Right? See, here's what happens to us. When we live like the walking dead, when we live in this place of sin where the enemy is controlling our life, we have no sense of self-worth. How many people do I meet on an ongoing basis? How many counseling sessions are done every week with people? And the bottom line is they don't feel worthy. They don't feel good about themselves. If we were to take a survey today, I'll just talk to the campuses because I don't even want to look at you because you'll get nervous. If I were to take a survey today of all of us who say, man, I just don't feel good about myself, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, it would be astronomical. How many people have no sense of self-worth? They look at themselves, despise themselves. They believe God's out to get them. And what they don't understand is that God said, here's the plans I've got for you. He said, you want to know what they are? Plans for hope, plans for success, plans for a future. That's what I've got for you, and that's what I want to do for you, God says. But the devil keeps beating us down and keeping us in that place where we feel like we're nobodies. I mean, have you ever seen people like, yeah, you know, just poor little old me? No. Hang on a second. You're not a poor little old anything. The Bible says this, that when you come in relationship with God Almighty, that you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm somebody. Uh-oh. Well, you're bragging. I'm bragging on my daddy. He's made me somebody. He's brought me into that relationship. He's given me the authority. I refuse to allow the enemy to take my self-worth while I walk around afraid all the time that the devil's going to kill me or that God's mad at me and he's going to kill me. See, we got this whole thing. Most of you probably know this. I was born and raised in Africa, and I can remember in Africa that you would be walking down a path. Now, understand, I lived in the jungle, okay? So your story's not as good as mine. I don't care where you live, I can top it probably, okay? And I lived in a mud hut with a thatch roof and no electricity and no running water. Top that one, okay? All right? But I can remember going down little trails, and we'd be going down a little trail, and all of a sudden you'd see like banana or plantain or something beside the trail. And I can remember even as a small child hearing them discuss what this was, hearing my parents and others discuss. And what it was is that the Africans, and a lot of them had never, at that point in time, had never, my father was the first white person they had ever seen. But yet there was something inside of them, and here's what they said. We know that there's a good God, and we know there's a bad God. That was their concept. There are two gods, one's good and one's bad. And their concept was, we are going to leave these sacrifices for the bad God so that he won't bother us because we know the good God is not going to do anything evil to us. Well, that's a little mixed up theology, but we need to understand that. The good God, here's what he said in John 10:10. He said, the bad God, the thief, Satan, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come, the good God, that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. Now, I can't be down in the dumps knowing that I've got a God who wants to take care of me and to bless me in that way. But when I'm the walking dead, there's a sense that nothing is worthy in my life. Verse 6 through 9, I'm going to quickly go through this. And I won't read it, but it just says that when they said this, that Pharaoh just said, here's what I want you to do. He told all the people that were over the slaves, here, they've got too much time on their hands, so here's what I want you to do. Take away their straw. They're going to have to go out and gather their own straw and do their own thing. I'm no longer going to supply it, but you keep the task the same way. They've got to make the same number of bricks as they were making, and let's see what they're going to do. In fact, he said they're lazy, and this whole thing about crying out to their God. Let's see what's going to happen when I do that to them. And then he goes on and says in verse 9, let me just read that to you. He says, make the work harder for the people so that they will keep working and pay no attention to lies. Boy, that's powerful. See, here's the deal. When you are a slave, when you're living in that place of the walking dead, you are totally dependent on the one who's over you. All right? Listen to what he said there. He said, hey, first of all, they got too much time on their hand because they're thinking, right? And then he said, here's what's going to happen. They are believing this. He called it a lie, but guess what? The lie was the truth, right? A couple of years ago, Sherry and I went to, we were headed to the Philippines. We spent a couple of days in South Korea, and we went to the DMZ there between North Korea and South Korea. It was the weirdest experience I think I've ever had in my life, standing there and looking across into North Korea. And so after I came back home, I did some research on North Korea, and what I found is that the North Koreans have been brainwashed. They have been sold a bill of goods. Most of them are destitute. Most of them live in horrible circumstances, but they worship their supreme leader. They worship the dictator of their country who lives an unbelievably lavish lifestyle, but they have been told, oh, he's the great one and we're nobody. And they're totally dependent on him and the government, even though he's living this life. And I thought, they think he's wonderful, but if they only knew the other side of the story. See, how often in people's lives, they're living for the enemy. They're doing their own thing. They think, oh, this is the life. No, that life kills, steals, and destroys. Jesus came to give you life and it more abundantly. Look in verse 10 and 11. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. This is what the devil says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. All right? Now, here's the next thing about being in this place. When you are a slave, when you are in that place, you are controlled by lack. There's never enough. All right? You say, oh, Pastor, I've got plenty. No, no, no. Let's talk about it for a minute. The interesting thing about our society is that our society is controlled by lack. And so I don't believe that. Why do you think that right now oil and gas is so cheap? It is because there is an abundance. But how many of you... just, you don't bet because you're believers. But if you were going to, you pretty well can bet that in a year to 2 years' time, it's going to go back up. Why? Because there's not enough oil? No. I don't care what they tell you. Get somebody who will dig down. There's plenty of oil. What they're going to do is they're going to shut down the pipeline. And all of a sudden, they're going to create a system of lack. And when there is a system of lack, the price goes through the roof. Okay? What the devil does is that he rules by lack. And so he gets us involved in something. And then whatever it is we're involved in, it doesn't satisfy us the way it used to. Think of the first time that that teenager went to a party. And whatever they were offered, whether it was alcohol or maybe somebody was looking cool and smoking a cigarette or maybe somebody had a joint or whatever it was, they're handed that. And man, in that moment, it's the cool thing and everything is copacetic. But guess what? Follow some of those same people 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. And all of a sudden, that thing which used to satisfy See, in the first instance, one or two may have done it. I love how Christians act like they don't know what I'm talking about. Yet, as time goes by, we're controlled by lack. If we had to have two beers, now we got to have four beers. If we had only known, listen to me, if we had only known that taking that first puff on that Camel or that Winston or whatever it was, that 40 years later, we were still going to be fighting that, and if we figured up the money we were going to spend, we could have built a mansion. But the enemy doesn't tell you that. The enemy says, oh, look, the cool kids or the cool people are doing this, that, or that. When you take that first hit of crack, it doesn't say, hey, I'm going to destroy your life. But that's how the enemy works. He works with lack. You look across the audience. You look across the person at work, and they catch your eye, and they look cute, and they look all put together. But what we don't realize is that if we follow that, it's not going to be enough, and all of a sudden, there's going to be a split-up family. There's going to be crying children. There's going to be devastation comes. Why? Because the enemy always subtracts. He never adds to it. And so we live life, and if we're not careful, we think that this is what the world's supposed to be like. This is how we're supposed to live. And yet Jesus said, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to live an abundant world. I want you to have plenty of everything. I mean, listen, God created a world of abundance. This whole mentality, well, we don't have enough. Listen, God knew how many million, billions, and how many ever other people are going to be on this planet. He knew when we were going to be here. And he is not a God of lack. The Bible does not say he is El Cheapo. The Bible says he is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. And that's the kind of God we serve. And yet the enemy, the devil, the Satan, tries to keep us in this place. Look in verse 12. It says, so the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The aspect here is that they're just beaten down. I mean, not only is it bad enough that we're building these pyramids and we're doing all these things out of slave labor, now we got to run everywhere. We got to go to everything. We got to do everything. That's what the enemy does in your life. You start off, woo, it's good, it's fun. But guess what? It won't be long. What satisfied you today? And I shouldn't do this because we're all, you know, holy and righteous. But I guarantee you, the first time somebody handed a man here a Playboy, it was an exciting moment. But I guarantee you, years later, you got to have something else. Boy, it gets quiet because we're holy and righteous. Why? Because the enemy knows that if he can addict you, if he can get you in bondage, he is always going to lead you a path of a place that you didn't think you were going to go. See, that's what sin always does, right? I mean, sin always takes you places you never thought you were going to go. And sin always cost you more than you ever thought you were going to pay. And so what we've got to do is we've got to come to that place of saying, wait a minute, I am not going to allow the enemy to beat me. I am ready to get out of this bondage. I am ready to get freed from this slavery. I don't want to be the walking dead anymore. I want to move into everything that God has for my life. Look in verse 13 and we'll bring this thing around. Verse 13 says, the slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. Listen, when you are a slave, you are directed by commands. All right? Do this. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't want to do it. Doesn't matter. I mean, through the years, I've dealt with people who have numerous addictions, and every one of them will tell me, listen, when I started doing this, it was for fun. Now I have to. Now, if I just want to be normal, if I just want to be able to make it through the day, these are the things that I have to. Let me say this to you. Do you think that that is a God who loves you? that brings you into that place where you are in bondage, where you are addicted. Look at your life, ladies and gentlemen. Look at ourselves. Let's be willing today to face reality and to say, this is not living. I'm walking around. I'm talking. But inside, I'm dead. But the great thing is that I can be made alive. See, the interesting thing about the television show is that the only way to escape, as far as I can understand, is they kill you. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know what? It's the same way for us. The only way, listen to me, the only way that I can get freedom is to die. I've got to die to myself. I've got to die to my desires. I've got to come to that place of saying, Lord, I am going to give you my life, and I'm going to turn from this old life and come into relationship with you. God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a decision to change. See, that's the beautiful part of this. See, to be brought to life, I first of all have to hear the good news. I have to know that there is a God who loved me, that there is a Savior who died on my behalf, that Jesus Christ really has paid the price, and that all that I have to do is to ask Him to come into my life. But you know what? It's not enough just to hear the Word of God. See, a lot of people will hear. There will be people today, whether it's in this audience or one of the campuses or somebody on television, they're going to hear this. And they're going to say, ah, that's too good to be true. And you know what? It really is. It really is too good to be true to think that there is a God who has already sent His only begotten Son, who died on my behalf, and that all I've got to do to come alive is to accept Him and receive what He's done. That is too good to be true. But it is. Not only do I have to hear it, I have to believe it. I have to believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I have to believe today that He wants me back alive and whole in His family. He looks at us, and in the state that we are in before we come in a relationship with Him, His heart longs for us. If you don't believe that, get your Bible at some point and read the story of the prodigal son. Because it is a picture of how God looks at us and how He desires to have relationship with us. The world says, God's trying to take all the fun from you. God makes these rules and these things you shouldn't do and these things you can't do, and that shows you how bad God is. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have children? How many of you, hold you, just keep it there a second. Now, this next question, if you didn't do this, just lower your hand. How many of you, for those same kids, you had some rules? If anybody's hand just went down, we're reporting you to Department of Human Services. Put your hands, okay? Right? Those of you at the campuses, right? I mean, I'm just saying to us, we put guidelines out there. We tell our kids, hey, don't play in the street. But it's the best surface to skateboard on. It's just right. It angles right. It feels good. Yeah, but that car coming at 65 miles an hour will take you out. See, God's word is not saying to us, don't have fun. Don't enjoy life. You know what? When I look at what the world calls fun and the end result of all that fun, it's destruction. I'm going to party like it's, 19 whatever. Party your heart out. But when you go home, you're going to hang over the commode. And you're going to repent of every sin you ever thought of committing. God, if you just let me quit throwing up, I won't ever do this again. You know you pray. Don't look holy. You know you prayed that prayer. But it's another Saturday night and I ain't got nobody. I got some money because I just got paid. And it's the cycle that destroys us. It's the enemy that comes along and says, if you'd eat this, it'll supply everything in your life. And yet all they had to do was turn around and look, and they had everything they could ever think of. But they bought the lie, and they took it. And we have suffered for thousands of years because of that. So I've got to believe the good news. But lastly, and this is where I close, is I've got to act on that good news. It's not enough just to hear what I'm saying today. It's not enough to say, well, I believe that that's really true, what that man's saying up there. The Bible says that I can't just be a hearer of the word, but that I also must be a doer of the word. So how do I come to that place where my life, I don't want to be in this place. I don't want to be in Egypt's bondage anymore. I want to move in to the blessings that God has. How do I get there? Well, the Word of God says, if I'll confess with my mouth and I'll believe in my heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I'll be saved. And you and I have that opportunity today. The greatest thrill that I get as a pastor, week in and week out, is the opportunity to give people a moment where they no longer have to be the walking dead, but they genuinely can move into true life that God has for them.